Thank you, Katie. Sounds a little bit like England to listen to the Christmas music. Young people, it's time for your church. If you want to gallop out there, please. It's time for that. The rest of you, I would ask to turn to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 1. Sometimes I'm guilty of misleading you, and I don't mean to, but last week I mentioned that Joseph was laid in iron. And I explained that a little bit, but I also said you can read that for yourself in the book of Jude. That's not correct, and I want you to know where to look for it. It's Psalm 105, a long way from Jude, and verse 17. And you have to read, 18 actually, but the context is from verse 17 through 22. Today, I've already mentioned that there was the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. I want you to know that you can read about that. The 5,000 is discovered in Matthew chapter 14, and the 4,000 is discovered in chapter 15 of Matthew. So it's only a chapter apart. And interestingly enough, and I have to say this too before we get going here, it's so interesting that the congregation that Jesus fed that was 5,000 is in the 14th chapter. And when the disciples came to Jesus in the 15th chapter and said there's 4,000 or more people out here, you have to understand that they were exhibiting no faith. They had seen Jesus feed 5,000, then surely he could feed 4,000. If you have a later edition or translation, it will say 4,000 or 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And so if you count the women and children and say that a man had one wife and he had two children, that's a lot more extra people. You find yourself in 16,000 that Jesus fed for the 4,000 and 20,000 he fed for the 5,000. So this formula can get bigger and bigger. But I want you to see that the disciples didn't understand that Jesus could do the same thing again. And God does miracles today. I think it's a wonderful time that we're in, because we're in the last days and God is working miracles. And not many people are seeing the miracles. That story about the church in Warrington is a fabulous story if it could only be written and people would read it. It's a fabulous story. But these people are doing what God has said to do. And how do we feed? How many people will come were the questions they asked in Warrington. Nobody knew the answers, and now they're just feeding thousands. Isn't that remarkable? I think it's remarkable. And if any of you want to pitch down in your pockets and help, feel free. I don't know where it is. I can get it to them, so make it out to me. No, don't do that. I'll tell you how to send it. But now I want to talk to you about this business of the birth of Jesus. And I want to go before the birth of Jesus, because there's some really fascinating things about what happened before Jesus was born. I'm sure in the first chapter you know of Luke, this is, you know the story, how it was that Jesus was conceived after that John Baptist was conceived. And it's interesting to know that Zacharias and Elizabeth were old. Now, we joke about Sarah and Abraham, but God had already proved what he could do with old people. And he could give a child to an old couple. And now he does it again. And this angel comes to Elizabeth and says, this is what's going to happen. Now he also went to Zacharias. Now Elizabeth is, wow, this is a strange business that you've come from heaven to talk to me. But I believe in miracles. And the Word of God teaches us that we dare believe in miracles because God, there is nothing impossible with God. And God produces the most amazing things, and we need to understand it. We need to understand what it is that God is saying to us today. And it is that He is the God of the impossible. Well, we find that Elizabeth sort of says, I'm an old lady. How can this happen? And the angel says, I've just come from God. And I'm delivering you the message that comes from God. And though it's impossible with man, it's possible with God. Well, then Gabriel goes across and he starts to talk with Zacharias. And he tells Zachariah what he's going to do. And he says, Zachariah, you're going to have a child. Now, this is an interesting thing. Have you noticed when you meet a blind person how your voice goes up a few octaves? How are you today? The person isn't deaf, they're blind. It is good to see you again. And we talk like that to a blind person. Why? Well, here we've got a similar thing. Because the story is just this, that Zechariah said to Gabriel, who came to tell him this great news that he was going to be the father of a son, he said, that's ridiculous. It can't be. I'm an old man and mother's an old lady. It's not going to happen. And so Gabriel says, you know, you have to think again. God is the God of the impossible. And God can do exceeding, now we know this, God can do exceeding abundantly, way above anything you can imagine. It doesn't enter into the mind of man, nor into the heart of man, of what God has in store for us who love Him and trust Him and follow Him. And so we discover the angel saying to Zacharias, you are going to be dumb until the child is born. Now the child, John, is born. And it's an interesting thing. Because for 8 days after the child is born, Zacharias still cannot speak. The people that recognized that something had happened to Zacharias, they had waited outside the holy place in the temple, and they had waited for Zacharias to come out, and he was a long time coming out. In fact, they were so anxious that they were thinking about getting somebody to go and find him. And he eventually comes out and cannot speak. So all through the hill country, and we know, living in Christmas Valley, how quick that can be. All through the hill country, the people gossiped, is the word. They gossiped what they'd heard and what they'd seen. And now the child is born, and 8 days have gone by, and Zacharias is still dumb. And the people say, well, it's time now for this child to be named. And so they said to Elizabeth, his mother, his name's got to be Zacharias the second. And she said, no, his name is John. Now read the scripture for yourself and watch what happens next. They went to Zechariah and made signs. Why do they make signs? He wasn't deaf. He was dumb. Have you ever thought of this? You know, there's some really humorous things that go on in scripture. People sign languaged. His name's got to be Zacharias. And he said, no, John. And so as to be evidenced in front of all the people that God was in this, immediately he could speak. Now, it's a fascinating thing. And I've got the wrong Bible here, but I wanted to share with you how it was that he made a great statement. It's called the Song of Zacharias. And the angel answered and said that the Holy Ghost would come upon this man John, and he would go before Jesus, and he would prepare the way of the Lord, and he would cry to the people, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And we know from history, looking back, that John baptized thousands of people for the repentance of sins, and said, "There is one coming after me that is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." And John was massively used of God. When Jesus eventually came to John, who was baptizing in the Jordan, Jesus stood in front of him and he said, wait a moment. You're the Son of the living God. You are this exceptional person, capable of doing exceeding abundantly above everything that a man can even begin to think. You are God's Son. And you are God on earth. I can't baptize you. I have need that you, Holy One, you baptize me. And Jesus said, no, John, do what I ask. Don't stop me from fulfilling all the righteousness, all that needs to be expressed for righteousness' sake. And so John baptized Jesus in the Jordan. And when Jesus came up out of the Jordan, when he was being lifted up by John, when Jesus was being lifted up by John, the heavens opened and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Hear ye him." And it was like a dove came out of heaven and sort of sat on his head. It was the Spirit of God, whom we know as the Holy Spirit. Well, it's necessary for us to think about these things, because later on, we find that Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. And when she goes to visit Elizabeth, the baby leaps in the womb of Elizabeth. For joy. Now, this is something you ladies know much more about than we fellas. When does a child leap for joy? And when is he just being ornery? I don't know that one. But you ladies know about that. And the child leapt with joy because Mary was now pregnant with Jesus. It's a very interesting story. We find two people, one who is married and elderly, and the other who is not married and is very young, about 16, we think. And they are both pregnant with God's rich blessing for this earth. Why do we give gifts at Christmas? Because God gave Jesus Christ the gift to mankind. The activity on earth is colossal. The activity is so enormous that lots of people are involved. We have wise men that are involved. We have Elizabeth involved to start the story. And her condition was barren or stricken. But she was, in verse 6 of this first chapter, she and her husband were blameless and righteous. And his condition in verse 12 is that he was a person struck dumb in verse 20. Verses 12 and 14, there was joy and gladness in their hearts. God wants to bless you. I don't want to sound like one of these TV operators trying to get you to give money. I want to sound like a person that is telling the word of God truly. God wants to bless you. He's wanting to bless you. He's looking for a man and a woman, a boy and a girl, who will so trust him that he can bless them and bless them and bless them. God desires that his people are blessed. Now, that doesn't mean rich. Let me lay that out clearly. Shoot that thing, please. Quickly. But it doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus, it doesn't mean the Lord Jesus is saying be rich. He is saying be blessed. Let the Holy Spirit come on you and be blessed. Let the power of God come upon you and be blessed. Do you want to be blessed? You know, how many years had Elizabeth and Zacharias lived? We are not told, but they were old. That's all we're told. They're old. And here they are told this ridiculous thing, you're going to have a child. Well, we tried hard when we were young and nothing happened. Yet here is something very blessed. God says, I want to bless you. And you're going to have my herald, the man that will go in front of Jesus and say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. We have a great grandchild coming any day now. And my prayer is he or she will be filled with the Holy Spirit and will be a person who can speak of Jesus and live for Jesus and uplift the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, you grandparents, you oldies, do you pray that way for these children? Not because I pray it, but I believe that you should pray for that sort of thing in that sort of way so that God will hear your prayers and honor those prayers. And Elizabeth looks and shakes her head. Can't be, but 'twas. Look at verse 37, just for a minute with me, please. This is the first chapter of Luke. For with God, nothing is impossible. Now look at the humility of Mary. We see this activity on earth, this young girl. And she says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I stand in front of you, Lord. Whatever you want to do with my body, it's yours to do. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. All of you ladies, can you look into the eyes of Jesus this day and say very honestly, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. What you want to do with the rest of my life, do it. Would you be so bold, ladies, to so dedicate yourself to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, however long I've got to live, I dedicate myself to you. Take this body, use it for your own purpose, and bring glory to your name. Can you say that? You may not be able to, because today is the beginning of the rest of your life. And today, if you make such a statement to the Lord, it is a vow he hears and will hold you to for the rest of your life. It's a big thing. Notice in verse 27, the situation of Mary. Look in verse 28, her confrontation with the angel. Notice in verse 29, her realization. And then in verses 30 to 33, discover there's no speculation. God has said, you will be the woman through whom I will introduce the Son of God to a lost world. As many as believe on this Jesus Christ, your Son, will be saved. The name Jesus means Savior. Now, if we look at this, we discover that there is something else in this piece of Scripture that we need to give a little attention to. Because we find in verse 39, let's read it. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah and entered in the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. This is known as the Magnificat. I don't want to go into that particularly. I want to sort of cruise over it. But I want to share this much with you, that the Lord Jesus is the one who is to have a kingdom. Verse 33 says, Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now I know we can spiritualize what we think we know, but what do we know? Well, if we go back into Isaiah 59, chapter 9, and we look at that, the seventh verse, sixth and seventh verses, we discover there that the Lord Jesus would be the person upon whose shoulders the government should rest, and there would be peace. It would be a lasting peace, an eternal peace. It would be, in fact, the peace of God that passeth all understanding and never fades away. Have you seen that yet? I haven't. So I have to say that I believe that this government shall be set up. It's sort of set up now as far as God is concerned, but it's not in exhibition yet, and it won't be in exhibition until the 21st chapter of Revelation, when there comes a new Jerusalem and a new heaven and a new earth, and we shall reign with Christ. It's important. You see, the kingdom that is spoken of is an area of authority and responsibility. It's without limitation. The emigration status of anyone who wants to come is this: whosoever will may come. Man, woman, boy, girl, from the uttermost parts of the earth, they can come into this kingdom. And they can come by believing that Jesus has died, and Jesus has risen from the dead, and Jesus has saved them. And when they put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are saved forever. The Bible says, if we believe in him, we have everlasting life. Or to use a different word, we have eternal life. The emigration can be massive, and it will be massive, for they will come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and we will come, and there's a massive group of people, as many as the sand of the seashore. The Israelites will be born again. The Israelites will be trusting Jesus. They call him Yeshua. The Israelites will be calling him Messiah. And they will be trusting him. And those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, we are included in this massive family of God. Oh, I'm so glad I belong to the family of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his word. I'm so glad I belong. Christmas is here, almost. Doesn't really matter whether you say, well, I don't believe that Jesus was actually born on the 25th of December. What if it was the 26th or the 20th? Or maybe it was a different time altogether. And you're most likely right. We do not know the truth of the timing. But I do believe this, that the 25th of December is the day upon which we remember the birth of our precious Lord. And that's what I'm celebrating on the 25th of December. I'm celebrating that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son on that date. I don't believe necessarily that is the date, but I do believe God sent his only begotten Son in the manner in which he prescribes in this chapter, through a young girl who had no husband at that time. I think it's a wonderful story. It's a wonderful fact. And we can put our trust in the Lord Jesus, and we can love him because he first loved us. To quickly close, all the citizens that come from everywhere are welcomed, whether we come from the Great Britain or the United States of America, Mexico, Canada, or the uttermost parts of the world, whether we come from Latvia, or we come from the Antarctic, or we come from the Arctic. It doesn't matter whether we come from the equator all the way round the globe. It doesn't matter where we come from. People putting their trust in Jesus are brought into the family of God. Oh, that is a beautiful thing. And so we find the heavenly activity. There's really not much time for me to say about this, but in the 19th verse, we read that Gabriel was the angel that was there. Verse 19, the angel answering said unto Zacharias, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and show thee these glad tidings. You've heard the glad tidings. Jesus came. Jesus lived. Jesus died. Jesus was resurrected. Jesus ascended into heaven. And those that believe in him shall live forevermore. What a story. What a gift. And we don't need wise men to come from the east to tell us this. The wise men will come anyway, but their wisdom will be nothing compared to the truth of God's word. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I challenged you ladies a moment ago. Now let me challenge you men. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, are you trusting this Lord Jesus? Are you putting into practice the things that the Lord Jesus has given you to do? Are you loving him? Men, will you give your life to this Lord Jesus? Will you bring yourself just as you are without one plea, but that his blood was shed for thee? Will you come to him? Will you lead your family? Will you lead your whole family, the little ones and the larger ones and the older ones, will you lead them and trust him and put him first? What a gift. What a gift all you women would have. What a gift all you men will have the moment you say Jesus first and everything else comes behind that. And everyone else. Come ye that love the Lord. And let his name be known. Join in this great song. Is the song of redemption. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Do you love him? This little babe, the gift of God. God so loved the world, he gave his son. Oh. knowing that he would be crucified, knowing that he would be terrorized, knowing that he would suffer such contradiction of sinners. God gave him. Oh, the love of God. So we read in the first epistle of John, God is love. You can't find that in the Quran. You can't find that in any other literature. God loves you. Do you love him back? He loves you. You're going to love him back? He loves you. You're going to love him back? Let's bow in prayer. Almighty God and Father, we just say thank you. We don't deserve the great gift of God, which is eternal life. We don't deserve Jesus Christ to come into this world to save sinners. We don't deserve any of your great love, but we thank you that the grace that you have expressed towards us is the grace sufficient for us to receive the only begotten Son of God, and to know that we are saved by his grace. Will you bless this word to our hearts today? Will you come upon us with convicting power until we bow before you and cry out to you, God, be merciful. We're sinners. Will you bless every person in this congregation now for Jesus' sake? Amen. Now our closing hymn is 101. 101.